One. It's on now? We didn't have any audio. He says, yeah, it's on now. I had it shut off. All right. all right. So here we're going to be talking about a woman by the name of Hananiah today, or Hannah today. And I want to continue on with little-known characters of the Bible, because some of these characters have a lot that they can teach us. And we need to take and understand that. But let's start with a word of prayer, and we'll get into this. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all you've done for us. I pray now that you'll guide and direct everything that's said and done. That'll be for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Now, who can tell me who Hannah was? Anybody? Do you have any idea who Hannah was? Huh? No. She was Samuel's mother. Okay, now, we're going to see some very interesting things about her today, and I want you to take and think about her life in your life and what you could do differently in your life to make your life like hers. The first one is in verse 5. We see that Hannah was loved. Hannah's husband loved her because she was his wife, and Elkanah had two wives, which they must have been of the Mormon descent. No, not really. But anyway, but he had two wives, and one was Hannah. And for some reason, God had shut up her womb, and she couldn't have any children. But what we need to realize is that there was some. But Hannah, for some reason, was loved by her husband more than she was by the other wife. And even though she couldn't have children, she was still loved by her husband more than the other wife was. Now, Hannah had a problem, and the problem was in verse 5. It says that she was barren. What does it mean to be barren? Huh? Childless, or couldn't have any children. Now, back in the days of the Bible, if you were childless or you couldn't have children, you were not worth a whole lot. Because if you could not produce children and you were a female, you were of no use to anybody. And we need to take and understand that here Hannah had a problem. She could not have children. It does not say how long that she had been married. However, Hannah was able to not able to conceive or have any children. Now, God many times shuts up a woman's womb for the purpose of his honor and his glory, so he can be glorified. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 30, it says, "But Sarah was barren, she had no child. Abraham's wife did not have any children either." You know, think about Abraham. Abraham was supposed to be God's promised person, and he had no children. And that's why Abraham had an affair with Hagar. Hagar had Ishmael. Ishmael and Hagar then were discarded out of Abraham's family. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, it says, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived." You know, Rebekah also was barren and could not have any children. And we see that Isaac went to the Lord and asked the Lord to take and give her children. You know, in both these cases, God used them to be able to have children for his honor and his glory. Now, we take for granted many times in our society today the ability to have children. And people say, well, why do you say that? Why do you say that we take that for granted? Look at the number of abortions that are done every day. You know, if people looked at the sanctity of life like they did back in the days of the Bible, we wouldn't have any abortion today. We wouldn't have children that are being killed in the womb and outside of the womb. You know, Hannah had a problem she could do nothing about. She had this problem, and there wasn't anything that she could do. Doctors couldn't even help her. You know, she could not have any children. She was barren. And so here we see that her problem was very large in her life. But isn't it amazing how God has control of people being born? You know, it never ceases to amaze me how God can do this. Not only that, but Hannah was provoked in verse 6. We see that this other wife was continually provoking her and making fun of her. You know, you can't have any children. Nah, 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 nah. Look at all the kids I've had. You know, and so she provoked her to anger, and yet Hannah lived through it. You know, I can't imagine having someone day after day after day provoking me in the way this other woman did to Hannah. And, you know, she probably took her kids and ran them around her and everything else and said, look what I can do and you can't do it. You know, and I can see, you know, how she would provoke her into being angry. The fourth thing is this. Hannah, she was patient. In verse 7 that we read, it says that, and as he did year by year, when she went up into the house of the Lord, so she provoked her therefore, and she wept and did not eat. What we need to realize is that she was very patient. Every year, Elkanah would take his family, and they would go to Jerusalem, and they would take and worship the Lord at the temple. Hannah wanted more than anything in life to have a child. You know, in the days of the Old Testament, if you were childless, you know, a woman many times was put away. They would discard her because she was of no use. But Hannah was patient each year. She would go up to the house of God with her husband and this other woman that provoked her. But notice what she said. So she provoked her there, and for she wept. You know, can you imagine what it'd be like year after year after year going to the house of God with a woman that provoked you, and it hurt you so bad that you cried about it all the time? You know, that's the way Hannah was. Hannah was being provoked by this other woman, but yet she was patient. She every year went to the house of the Lord, and she prayed that she might be able to have a son. She was patient, hoping God would open her womb and she'd be able to have a child. Didn't matter if she had a girl or a boy. Didn't matter to her at all, as long as she had a child. But Hannah had all the cards stacked against her, so to speak. You know, she couldn't have a child. There's no way that any doctors could help her to have it. And so here we see, but she was patient in what she did. Not only that, but we also see she did something that is very important. And we need to take and understand this more than anything else. And it's found in verse 10. It says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Here we see that Hannah was so sad because she couldn't have a child that she went and she wept and she prayed to the Lord. She went into God's house and she got down on her knees and she prayed and she poured out her soul to God and wanted him to realize that how bad she wanted a child. You know, year after year, she went to the house of the Lord with the same petition. You know, Hannah wanted more than anything in life to have a child. And in those days, the Old Testament, you know, we have to realize that children were something that they needed to have. And so here we see that she prayed. She was bitterness in soul. She wept sore. Hannah was pouring out her heart and soul to the Lord, begging him to give her a child. You know, when a woman will give her children to the Lord, God can afford to give them children. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I don't know why God wouldn't give me a child. Well, maybe it's because you haven't turned your children over to the Lord yet before you have them. Now, we're going to see some really neat things about Hannah here in just a minute. But Sarah was barren and greatly grieved, even in old age, and she was 90 years old when God answered her prayers. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, and the Lord gave her a set of twins. Rachel, the beloved wife of Jacob, was barren. God heard her prayer and answered and gave her Joseph and Benjamin. Elizabeth had no children in her old age, and God opened her womb and gave her John the Baptist. Now, I believe many times we did not pray long enough or hard enough to get what we want from God. You know, many times we'll go to God and say, oh, dear God, please give me this, or please give me that, or do this for me, or do that for me. But yet we're not sincere. We don't pray long enough. Now, think about this. Hannah went year after year after year after year after year after year and prayed to God for one thing, and that was that he would give her a child. I believe many times that we do not pray hard enough or long enough for the things that we need, and we don't go to God with the right state of mind. In James 5:16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Notice, we are to pray often and continue in prayer. You know, if we do not get the answer right away, we figure, well, you know what, God doesn't want us to have it, and that's all there is to it. No, that isn't it at all. He wants to see how sincere we are, and we need to just continue to pray often for the things that we would like in life. Hannah also promised something. Look at verse number 11. She promised something to God, and it says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now, look what she did. She promised God that she would give that child that she didn't even have yet. She wasn't even pregnant yet. She hadn't conceived yet. But she promised God that she would give that child to God for all the days of his life. Now, think about that for just a minute. Here's a woman who wanted to have a child. She wanted to have a child more than anything. And yet she said to God, she says, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him to you to use all the days of his life. All she wanted to do is have a child. That's all she wanted. She didn't care about raising it or anything. She wanted to have a child. And she went and she asked God and she pleaded God. And she vowed a vow. And under the Jewish law, that vow had to be fulfilled. In Numbers chapter 30, verse 2, it says, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord and swear an oath unto to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. In Numbers 30, verses 6 and 7, it says, if she had all a husband with, she vowed and uttered an ought out of her lips, wherewith she bound her soul. And her husband heard it, and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vow shall stand, and her bounds within, she bound to her soul, shall stand. Here we see that Hannah was making a deal with the Lord. You know, when you tell God that you're going to do something for him, you need to do it. You know, if you say to God, well, you know what, I'm going to give you X amount of money every time out of my paycheck, you need to do that. If you say, you know what, when I get older, I'm going to take and do this, I'm going to be a missionary, you need to do it. Or a preacher, you need to do it. Or maybe you say, well, you know what, I'm going to take and I'm going to be to church on Sunday. Lord, I'm going to be to church on Sunday. And you don't show up. Then you're not fulfilling your vow to God. We need to take and remember that if we make a promise to God, we need to take and fulfill it. You know, there are many times we'll promise God something, and then we don't fulfill our promise to him. But yet we expect him to fulfill his promises to us. You know, it's a two-way street, folks. You know, if we make a promise to him and we don't keep it, why should God keep his promise to us? You know, that never ceases to amaze me how everyone always thinks it's a one-way street and it's for them only. But we need to realize that if we make a promise to God, that we need to stick by that promise. But Hannah prevailed. And we need to realize that in verses 19 and 20, it says this. And they rose up early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramoth. And Echaniah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, she bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. She prevailed in the end. In the end, Hannah had a child. She had a son. Think about that. For all these years, she prayed and she asked God for a son, and she never got a child. But God heard her prayers. He saw her affliction. He knew her heart, and he answered her prayer. You know, what a great God we serve. What a great God we can go to. You know, it never amazes me how God answers our prayer and how he answered the faithful prayers of Hannah to give her a child. She was faithful to her husband, even though she couldn't have children. And she was also faithful to her church because she went there every year with her husband. She went to church all the time. You know, because of her faithfulness, she prevailed with God, and God gave her something. Now, there's something else that Hannah did, and it's in verse 28. And I want to read that real quick. It says, therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Do you know what she did? She fulfilled her vow unto God. She fulfilled her vow unto God. What she did is she took Samuel to Eli the high priest, and he walked in and she said, here, God gave me this child, and I'm giving him back to the Lord all the days of his life. You need to realize this. Samuel was only 3 years old when Hannah took him to Eli. He was only 3 years old. It had to be difficult for her to give her only son. That's the only son she ever had up to that time period. That was it. But yet she had made a vow to God that she would give her child back to God. And that's exactly what she did. She took him to God and gave it to Eli, and he lived with Eli from there on. You know, if Hannah could give up her only begotten son to be used for the Lord for as long as he lived, why is it we as blood-washed, born-again Christians have such a problem giving up some of our material things for God? You know, what we need to realize is that we got an awful lot of stuff that we should give up for God. Our phones, those should be given up. Our other things that we use instead of him, we should be given up. You know, anything that we put in front of God becomes an idol to us. You know, just think how Hannah had to feel every year on Samuel's birthday when there was no son there. Holidays, there's no child to celebrate with, you know. But she still, once a year, went in and saw Samuel. And every year, she brought him a new set of clothes that she had made for him. But you know, Hannah praised the Lord for what she did. Look at chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, my horn is excellent in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in my salvation. There is a noise holy as the Lord. There is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Wow. You know what? Hannah rejoiced because God had answered her prayers. Because God had answered her prayer, she rejoiced and gave him praise for allowing her to have a child. You know, she didn't have to worry about being made fun of anymore. She had done something that no other woman had ever done, and that was to give her only son to the Lord. She praised God for answering her prayers and taking the heaviness away from her. Hannah was so thankful to God for hearing her prayer and allowing her to be an instrument to fulfill his perfect will. You know, we need to realize that God answers our prayer in ways sometimes we don't even understand. You know, when we first started the church, you know, I started a praise book, and every time something good happened, I wrote it in this book. I still got the book. And that book is about that thick now, of things that have happened in the church that God has given us. You know, God wants us to ask him to help, but he also wants us to praise when he answers our prayers. You know, I believe all of us can take a little lesson from Hannah, and in our own time of trouble, we need to turn to the Lord and seek his guidance. You know, when we feel everyone is against us and we need to face things by ourselves, we need to take and turn to the Lord and have him answer our prayers. So let's have a word of prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all you've done for us. I just pray that we might be able to take a lesson from Hannah, Lord. She was such a godly woman and she did exactly what she said she would do for you. Father, we just pray for the ones that are here and the ones that are listening that we might get something out of this. We pray also for Jesse Johnson and her family today, Lord, as they're getting ready to do the farewell to Jesse's dad. And Father, we just pray now that you'll guide and direct us in all that we do. Help us, I pray. I just thank you so much for loving us. Pray now that you'll be with us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, you're all dismissed. Let's get some work done today, and we'll be all ready to go. Amen. Thanks, Dana.